All right, it's time to start this morning. A big crowd, good to see you out. Cold and crisp. Either you get up and get awake, or you get up and go back to bed, one or the other, I guess. Jeff and Mike are passing out lessons 14 through 22, which is just about finished our quarter out. So if you did not get one of those, get your hand up. They'll find you with that. That'll finish the handouts there. So we're continuing in our study of the divided kingdom. We're well up into that now, so let's kind of start off a little review stuff and figure out where we are, what's going on here. Excuse me. These are the kings we've looked at so far in Judah. On the left side of the screen, we have the southern kingdom. We have Rehoboam and then his son, Abijam. They were both evil kings. They did not follow God. 17 years and 3 years. And then they're followed by Asa and Jehoshaphat, two good kings, for a total of 66 years. So right now we've been a long period. We're Jehoshaphat now, a long period of good kings in Judah. On the other side, in Israel, of course, we've got evil kings throughout. Still got Jeroboam, his son Nadab. They're killed off by Baasha. New dynasty starts. And Baasha and Elah, they're killed off by Zimri. And he lasts 1 week. He's killed by Omri. And then we got new dynasty started again with Omri and Ahab. And that's kind of where we are now, Ahab right now. So, get your mind going a little bit this morning. Take a good picture of that. Because now you got one missing. Who's missing? Fill in the blanks. We're going to back up and start again. Here's the big chart. Okay. Would you like to go to the small chart now? Who's missing? Baasha's missing. Okay. Nadab, Baasha for the next 24 years. Who's missing over here? Asa and then Jehoshaphat. Okay. Yeah. It's fair. All right. Now who? Zimri, he reigned for 1 week, okay. Other side, Rehoboam's son was Abijah or Abijam, okay, two different ways to look at that one. And then what we got now? Ahab, and boom, back to the top, starting it off on this side, Jeroboam, and Asa reigned for how long? 41 years. Good king or bad king? Good king. Okay. And then, like maybe the last one to see. Ahab's father, it was said of him, he was worse than everybody before him. Omri. Okay. Well, we got one more. Jeroboam's son was Nadab. Okay. Well, I got to keep going. No, Elah, his son. That's it. Okay. Call up with the kings. A little fun drill there. All right. Where are we now in the narrative? Last time we had this. The second version of the war between Ahab and the Syrians, because first time the Syrians had got defeated, couldn't figure out why. Of course, the prophet had come to Ahab and said, I'm going to help you out. God's going to show you the king in Israel. And they went out and totally defeated the Syrians, which had a much, much larger army. So now they come back and said, no, that's not right. You know, why did we get defeated by this little bunch of Israelites down here? So they figured out that, okay, we fought them in the hills, therefore their God's a God of the hills. This time we're going to fight them in the plains, because their God's not a God of the plains. We'll get them that way. So they put together the other army, same size, went back then in the spring, and fought them again. Now, last time I had a map up here that showed APEC possibly being down over right over here. I told you I thought it was probably east of Jordan. Well, I found this map. It's got APEC on it, where the battle was, which is just east of the Sea of Galilee, right where it should have been on the other map. I just didn't find it right. So put this in your mind, because that's right between Israel here and Samaria and Damascus and Syria up here, which is a much more logical place for the battle than it was down on the other map down here. So scratch last week's map. Look at this one. Okay, they're camped together. 7 days, preparations, staring at one another. The battle begins, and Israel again now in the plains. The first day kills how many Syrians? 100,000. 100,000 bodies laid out there. So some of the Syrians flee back to Aphek. The wall falls on some of them. And Ben-Hadad hides. And then his ambassadors come out and start talking to Israel and trying to get a deal going. And they say they're merciful people. And they work it out where next thing we know, Ahab is treating Ben-Hadad, his opposing king, like his brother, invites him up into his chariot and makes this deal with him, offers concessions to him, and Ahab sets him free. God sends a prophet to him. Wrong thing to do. We talked about that. Jumping then into the next chapter we had. Remember, Jehoshaphat still the king down in Judah. We haven't talked about him much lately. Naboth's got a vineyard next door to Ahab's palace. Ahab wants it. So he goes to Naboth and tries to buy the vineyard. Naboth has the right to sell it or not. He decides not to sell it because he's been his family a long time. Well, that just makes Ahab angry and pouty and all this stuff. So Jezebel comes in and says, "What's going on here, Ahab? Aren't you the king? You want it? Go get it." Okay? So she says, "I'll get it for you." So she gets these letters drafted up and she sends them to the leaders of the city and says, "Have this big feast that they bought up in the front," and have these scoundrels come in and say he cursed God and cursed the king. And when they did that, they took him out then and stoned him to death. She goes back to Ahab and said, "Guess what? Naboth's dead. Go get your vineyard." Okay. So again, God was very displeased with Ahab and what he's done. It says, just like the dogs have licked Naboth's blood, the dogs will lick your blood up too. So this time, Ahab does show some humility, and God, instead of ending the kingdom in his reign, said, "I'll wait and do it in the reign of your sons." So that's kind of call us up to where we are to start today in chapter 22 of 1 Kings. Parallel, almost the exact same wording as in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. So here we go. Jehoshaphat still reigning in Judah, good king, going to reign 25 years, following after the path of his father Asa, who reigned 41 years, a good king. And way back to first of class, we said what? Obedience brings what from God? Blessings, where sins, blames, the curses, and the punishment. So Jehoshaphat, obeying God, do what he's supposed to, he's being blessed. Riches and honor, it points out there. One bad mistake he made is that he had an alliance through a marriage situation with Ahab, king of Israel. So he goes up to visit Ahab. So we've been in the north most of the time. We're back down the south. Jehoshaphat went up to visit, though, in Ahab up in Israel. So now jumping back to the north part, Israel. Ahab's the king there. Wife Jezebel. He reigns for 22 years. And after he defeated the Syrians twice, he has a peace treaty with them, and there's no battles for like 3 years. And so now Jehoshaphat comes up to visit, and Ahab says, "Hey, will you help me go capture Ramoth-Gilead?" Ramoth-Gilead is right over here. So here's Syria and Israel. Damascus and Syria's up here. Samaria and Israel's here. Ramoth-Gilead over here was one of the original cities of refuge back in the days of the judges. And what it would belong to Israel. But Damascus, Syria had it captured. So, anyway, it's only one of these trade routes. It's a valuable city to have. As the trade goes from Mesopotamia down to Egypt, it's one of those places they pass through there. So Jehoshaphat says, "Yeah, I'll go with you. Well, I've got yours. My army's your army. We'll go together." It's, "Oh, before you go, though, do this for me. Say, inquire of the Lord. I'm going to go to battle. Inquire of the Lord." Now, Ahab never thought about doing that. Jehoshaphat was a good king. And aligned with the Lord. And he's already told Ahab he'll go. But then he comes in and says, "Inquire of the Lord for me." He wants to know what God thinks about it. Now, usually I have these little lesson slides tucked at the end of the class. Now, I'll move this one up into here because I'll talk about this phrase, inquire of the Lord, a minute. These passages on the screen up here all relate to David. If you were in the class in here on United Kingdom, when we're talking about David, we looked at over and over and over and over and over David's life. He's inquire of the Lord, inquire of the Lord, inquire of the Lord. Before he'd go into battle, before he'd go up and take over the kingdom, before what city did I go to, but he went to Hebron to take over. All these different times he inquired of the Lord. Here's three of them from 1 Samuel chapter 22, where he says, he, the priest, inquired of the Lord for him. 13, that same chapter, inquired of the Lord. 15 again, began to inquire of God for him. So all these patches are here from David, where David did this. That's what Jehoshaphat says. So I'm reminded of the passage back when Samuel was just a little child, and his mom had it, brought him to the temple to be with Eli the priest, or be with the tabernacle, be with Eli the priest. Remember God speaking to Samuel in the night, and Samuel thinks Eli calling, and finally Eli tells him, go back again, and when God speaks to you this time, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Let that sink in just a minute. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That what we think every time we go to think about something. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? That's what I want to do. What's Jehoshaphat want to know? He wants the truth. He wants to know what God wants him to do. So good old Ahab said, yeah, we can take care of that. So he calls in these 400 prophets he's got. Shall I go up to fight or not? And they say, oh yeah, yeah, go up. Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hands of the king. If you've got a King James or a new King James, chapter 22, look at verses, I think it's 6 and 15. Now some of the later translations don't have it this way. If you've got a King James or a new King James, in verses 6 and 15 both, got this phrase, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hands of the king. See that? Look at the word it. See anything different about it? King James or new King James? It's italicized, which generally means what? Added by the translators. Take it out. That's what you got. Go up. This is no big deal. This is interesting when I read it. Go up, for the Lord will deliver into the hands of the king. Now, how big is that, prophets of Baal? Yeah, Ahab, go up. For the Lord is going to deliver to the hands of the king. What's he going to deliver? Into the hands of which king? Okay. See, it kind of becomes this vague safe spell. It makes it very, very vague. So, whether that's the way it was, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that King James, New King James, both pull that word it out of there. It's being added in later. So we'll put it back in here. Jehoshaphat's not satisfied. He says, don't you have a prophet of God here that we talk to? What was the original thing? Let's inquire of the Lord. Okay. What's Jehoshaphat want? He wants the truth. I don't know what all these prophets of Baal say. I want the truth. By the truth, do not sell it. Proverbs 23. The entirety of your word, God, is truth. Jehoshaphat says, I want the truth. Don't tickle my ears with a bunch of, yeah, I'll go up and capture it. It's going to be great. Everything's going to be good. What's the truth about it? The word of the Lord. That's what's right. Of course, we all know John 17:17, sanctify them by your word, your truth. Your word is truth. So, question for us. Do we want the truth? Do they have really want the truth? Well, they have want. Somebody would agree with him, right? Yeah, let's go to battle. Big deal. Got it done. What do I want? Do I want the truth? Do I always want the truth? Do I always want the truth? Or do I want, well, I want the truth when it's what I want. Or, well, where are we? Do we always want the truth? Yeah, there's another prophet I can go get. There's one prophet of the Lord, Micaiah. I don't like him. Every time I get him, he tells me something I don't want to hear. Ahab says. What do they have on? The truth? No. Tell him what he wants. So they're waiting for Micaiah to come. So they send us somebody to pick him up, go get him, go find him. They're sitting on the robes, on their thrones, with their royal robes on, and all the prophets are out there prophesying before him. All these prophets of Baal, 400 of them. So Zedekiah has got some horns of iron he made. He takes those and puts them on and says, "You're going to take these horns, you're going to gouge Assyria to death. You're going to win this battle." So the servant messenger has gone to get Micaiah. And when he finds him, he says, "Hey, Micaiah, don't get the king upset. All these other people have told him, you're going to go to battle, you're going to win, it's going to be great. So when you get there, you tell him the same thing. Okay? Tell him it's going to be good. I mean, it's going to be great. Don't get things all stirred up." What's Micaiah's response? What did he say? "Whatever the Lord speaks to me, that's what I'm going to say." You want the truth? So he goes for Ahab. What to tell Ahab? Start with, "Go to battle. It's going to be great. Okay? Go be prosper." What did Ahab say? "Well, that ain't the truth. Not coming from you. Well, you're going to agree with the prophets of Baal over here. Something's wrong." Now, whether he said it in a sarcastic way or I don't know how he said it, but Ahab knew that what he said was not right. So he said, "Tell me the truth." He said, "I see Israel scattered like a bunch of sheep with no shepherd." "I see Israel scattered. You're going to be defeated. You're going to lose the battle." So how does Ahab react to that? You want the truth, Ahab? Do you really want the truth? There's a little piece in here that I don't totally understand. I'm going to pray out. I'm going to mention it. Somebody's got some comments about it. That's great. Start in chapter 22, verse 19. After Micaiah says that, he tells how it was brought about. And the first part of this reminds you almost of John in the book of Revelation. He said, "Hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing about it." It's a pretty powerful opening. The Lord said, "Who will persuade Ahab to go up? He may fall at Ramoth-Gilead." So one spoke in this manner, one spoke in that manner. This spirit came forth and said, "I'll persuade him." The Lord said, "How? In what way?" He says, "I'll go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets." The Lord said, "You shall persuade him, but also prevail. Go out and do so." So he says, "Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours. And they've declared it as disaster against you." How the Lord takes and puts a lying spirit in their mouth, I don't know. I would imagine it's very much like he hardened the heart of Pharaoh. They were already inclined to it. He's not going to come in and make them liars. We know that. He didn't make Pharaoh do what he did. But that's kind of the parallel I can draw to it. But they were there. They were always false prophets. They were worshipers of Baal. So the spirit goes out and they lie to Ahab. I'm sure like they have in the past. So when Micaiah says this, Zedekiah comes up and pops him one. says, well, those little spirits told me to do that. So Ahab's reaction is, he sends Micaiah off to prison. Now, this, what somebody swore to make you think it might be back to prison, like he got him out of the prison the first time. But he puts him back, he puts him in prison and says, feed him bread and water. How long? Till I come back. Feed him bread and water till I come back from battle. Micaiah says, I told you once, you didn't hear me. He said, if you come back from battle, what does that mean? If God didn't speak through me. So that's the second time. What did he say the first time? Israel's going to be scattered like a sheep with no shepherd. Who's their shepherd? Who's the leader of Israel? Ahab, the king, right? So scattered like a sheep with no shepherd. And now he says, Ahab, if you come back, if you come back from battle, God's not speaking through me. What's he just got through trying to tell Ahab? You're not coming back this battle. You're not going to survive. And he also tells the people. This is where it gets a little Ahab and Jehoshaphat, even having been told this by the prophet of the Lord, decide to go into battle anyhow. I don't know what influence Ahab's having over Jehoshaphat. I do know that they have a marriage alliance. We've mentioned that already in the slides where we had the arrows pointing back and forth between their children. Jehoshaphat's gone to visit Ahab. Why? Why do he won't be around him? But now, with the prophet that Jehoshaphat asked for, come in and saying, you're going to lose the battle. You're not going to come back. What's Jehoshaphat going to do? Go to battle anyhow. Get the idea Ahab maybe just a little bit worried about it. What's he tell Jehoshaphat to do? Put on your royal robes. You look like the king. We're going to the battle. But I'm going over here and disguise myself like a normal soldier. King of Syria tells his captains, don't fight with anyone except the king of Israel. That's all we're after this battle. We're going to get the king of Israel. Now, we know we had 3 years of peace from the time the last battle occurred to this one. What was the relationship between Ahab and Ben-Hadad at the end of the last battle? Yeah, friend, brother. Oh yeah, come up my chariot here. We worked out a deal. I let you go. Remember that? But hey, Dad, would he been alive if he hadn't done what he should have done to start with? But now, Ben, hey, Dad's coming back and said, don't worry about anybody else. Said, go get the king of Israel. So, seeing Jehoshaphat in his kingly attire, they start honing in on him, which is what Ben-Hadad told them to do. But they get close enough that they realize it's not Ahab. Now, physical characteristics, how they recognized him, how close they were, I don't know. But Jehoshaphat now realized he's in trouble. He should be in the battle to start with, right? Why are you going to see King Ahab in the first place? The prophet told you twice, don't go, you go, come back alive. Even though he's there when he shouldn't be there, he cries out to the Lord for help. And the Lord diverted them away from him and saved Jehoshaphat in the battle. So now, one of the Syrians takes and just shoots a random shot, random arrow shot. It finds a crack. You might call this a guided missile. Okay. God in this era. God is. By the crack of Ahab's armor, and he's wounded, he tells his drivers, get out of the battle. And so he dies at evening time, and his blood runs down in the floor of the chariot from his wound. Seeing this, the leader's gone, Israel's scattered, and they go back home. Sounds a whole lot like what Micaiah said, doesn't it? They get him back, they bury him in Samaria, they wash his chariot out, and the water runs out with the blood, and the dogs lick the blood, just like the prophet said. So now we get a new king in Israel. Ahab's gone. Ahaziah, one of his sons, is going to reign in his place now. So the king looks like this now. Jehoshaphat's in Judah. Ahab and Jezebel were reigning, and now Ahab's gone. So Ahaziah, one of his sons, will be the king in Israel. He has another son, Jehoram, and a daughter, Athaliah, that will come to the picture here. Jehoshaphat also has a son named Jehoram, who will be the next king in Israel, in Judah. And Jehoram's the one that's married, this marriage alliance, to Athaliah. That's how the two kingdoms get tied together. And then they have a son, Ahaziah, and he'll be the next king. Then Athaliah will jump over there and try to be queen over in Judah too. So we'll get kind of that as it goes there. There's a whole lot of names here the same, a lot of intermixing between these two families here. Couple of thoughts right quick. The prophet said, whatever the Lord says, that's what I'm going to speak. That's what I'm going to speak. A couple of things it kind of reminds me of. Go back to Balaam and Balak. We know what Balaam did eventually to get around it. But start with what he say. What the Lord tells me, that's what I'm going to speak. If he stuck to it, it'd be good. But he kept trying to find ways to get around it. The Lord tells me, that's what I'm going to speak. Paul in 1 Corinthians says, we preach Christ. We'll preach Christ. That's it. We'll preach Christ. He tells them in 2 Corinthians, we don't preach ourselves. We don't talk about us. We don't preach what we want to say. But we preach Christ. Then he told the Colossians again, him we preach, warning every man with his teaching. And he goes on to this passage that we all know about. Well, I'll head up here. Skip it. I'm here in a minute. So, the truth. We have the truth. People don't try to deceive us. So what a prophet deceived Ahab. Big people don't try to deceive us as if they were telling us the truth. Be a preacher. Be an elder. Be a anybody. If we take what God says, the truth, we take what they say. Ahab, Jehoshaphat, you got a choice. Are you going to go to battle or not? I've told you the truth. Told you what God said. Your choice. God's prophecies are going to come true. What God said is going to be true. It's going to happen that way. What's our choice? Do we want the truth or not? What did God tell them about eating that one tree in the garden? Eat this tree and you will die. Satan comes along and says, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. Truth? Look good. Want some of that. You're not going to die. First John 4 puts it into kind of a thing that fits right into my lesson with this lying spirit thing here. It says, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Well, they're God. There's lots of false prophets out there. There's lots of false prophets out there. There's lots of people today that are not teaching the truth. Do you really want the truth? Always? What Paul said about it? We've preached the truth to you. Now, if we come back and say something else, or even an angel from heaven comes and says something else, don't believe it. We've told you the truth. Everything else, you've got to push aside. And Moses told the people, he said, well, I've told you came from God. Well, I've told you came from God. You be careful to do it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. The truth is the truth. That's what Moses said he had given them. Then Jesus himself said this statement. He told his disciples. This is what ought to kind of put the scary into all of us. Jesus told his disciples, take heed that no one deceives you. Can I be deceived? Can I listen to the raw one? Can I find somebody that's going to tell me what I want to hear? Be careful that no one deceives you. Open your ears. Open your ears and you can always hear what you want to hear. You can always hear what you want to hear. If you want someone to tell you what you want to do, you can find somebody to do it. If you want somebody to always tell you the truth, then that's what you want to hear. You got to go find that. What do you want? What do I want? Do I want the truth? Hey, I want the truth. Not really. John said I want the truth, then he ignored it. Okay, left 5 minutes. Who's got some comments? Yep, Bob.
Wayne, I was thinking of a passage over here in 2 Thessalonians. You're talking about where God will send a strong delusion to those who are purified, detained, or maybe condemned, but they're not able to fulfill their pleasure and consciousness. This goes along with what you said. I really believe this is for us a practical application for the false teachers that are out there. It is our responsibility to try to steer this and make sure that being consumers of the words will be one of us to us. That false
teachers. Yeah, hey, go back to this slide. I'll turn it off. This slide here. There are people out there that will deceive us. There are people out there will tell us what we want to hear. You can find a preacher, an elder, a fellow Christian. You find you can find somebody that tells you anything you want to hear. They'll make it right.
Specifically saying, I want this person to lie. It's just that he is not.
Well, I think the same way with these prophets.
Right.
I mean, they were inclined to it. God used them to fulfill his purpose.
Right. And I think that speaks to the subject of our free moral volition. We have choice to make. And we have a full truth that which is correct.
And the only way we can know is if the truth or not is what? Have you studied the word enough to know? Okay. Oh, I believe Brother so-and-so, he always will tell the truth. Hope you're right. Yep. What we believe on that, right? what I was supposed to say about that. Yeah, I don't care who's preaching. It's just hard to say. Oh, brother, you know, you just start naming it. Oh, it's this guy, this, all these people that you believe and have confidence. And I'm glad we can have confidence in them because their record says they teach the truth. Like Bob says, there's been men that we had a lot of confidence in the past. That at some point, deviated from the truth. So we have to be careful. Be careful what I say. Ready to watch Freddie back here. All right, somebody else? About 2 minutes. That's right. That's it. That's it. Yeah, right. They searched. They knew. That's right. They knew. You got to search and dig it out. You sit there and listen to me all day long. And you hope I'm right. But you better get your Bible and start digging. All right. Thank you much.